Welcome to the New Regime Podcast, a Cleveland Browns podcast, recorded before games, after games. The reason we call it New Regime is because we're all ready to start over after every game. I'm so glad that my namesake on my podcast is not applicable this year. Well, I guess it kind of is because we have to pick a coach. But overall, look, we got a team. We don't feel like we're starting completely over. I don't know why that's a minor victory for us in Cleveland, but I feel pretty good about it. Find me on Twitter, on Facebook, at New Regime Pod. In this podcast, I got more excuses for not doing a podcast last week. Closing the door on the Denver Broncos. We're going to talk about Pro Bowlers, Sam Darnold, 3 points from section 346. We're going to do a preview. We're going to do predictions. Talk about the uniforms a little bit. Let's do this.
Excuses.
Oh man, another excuse. Here it comes. Look, I was sick for like 2 weeks. I got a baby at home. Work was busy. And man, sometimes you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Winter's beating you down like a Christmas mule. Underappreciated and not considered as a thought in anyone's mind. Okay, well, that's my excuse, all right? I felt crummy, and I didn't do my podcast, okay? Apparently, I love my daughter more than I love my podcast, all right? So maybe I'm not a true Cleveland fan, but I'm excited to be back. It's great to be back doing this thing. I love doing this thing. I want to thank everybody who's been listening because it means a lot. It's weird. I like hearing my own voice. I really do. I have, my wife and I were talking about it last night. I have a little bit of the Leo astrology thing in me. Look, some of you might not believe in astrology, and that's fine, but in my particular case, it is very applicable that I love myself a lot, and I want to talk about me all the time. What better way to do that than have my own podcast where I just listen to myself for a half hour? So I'm thankful for everybody else who's actually listening to my giant ego.
You're born in a barn?
All right, man, let's close that door. On the Denver Broncos. Look, I know it's already midweek. We're already not even thinking about it. How great did it feel to go into Denver and watch our team win? And it's weird because I didn't do a preview podcast for that particular episode, but I felt like we were a better team. Like I think if we asked everybody who was going to win that game, everybody was going to pick the Browns. We just have a better team. It's like, whose faith, where is your faith going to lie? In the Broncos quarterback or the Browns quarterback? I think you look at that first, and then you look at everything else, and we have a lot of very good skill players on our team. We're not a pushover team anymore. It's pretty awesome, and we're going to get more into that as we go along, but we all knew the Browns were going to win this game, weirdly. And really the only concern that I had going into it was this going to be too big for them? And clearly it wasn't. You know, we have a very young team. They haven't played a lot of meaningful football in the last 2 years. The games have been getting more and more meaningful throughout this season, especially after Hugh left. But you have to be proud of the way this team is playing. Of course you're proud of the way this team is playing, and you wouldn't even be listening to this if you weren't proud. So I don't even need to poll the audience because, well, this is a broadcast. All right, so we were the better football team. That game should have been worse. Baker was off, right? He didn't have a great game. And I think that's a part of the reason I'm really excited about the team. And I know that I look at this guy with rose-colored glasses. Like, I will be, if he goes and just tanks the rest of his career, I'm going to be a Baker apologist. Absolutely, because I've been all in on him. But you know what? The way I look at it, maybe this is maybe too positive side of things, but he had a bad game, or not a very good game in the beginning of the game. And he still kept the team in it. He still made the plays when they needed to. And it's great experience for a young team. Going in to Denver when you needed a win, backs against the wall for both teams, and you pull out the win. It's great experience. I know this is going to serve them well next year. At least you would think from just the experience level, these guys are getting familiar, and I'm really excited about the next two games because you have the Bengals, and they're a team that, you know, we know is kind of on the downslide, and we don't think much of them. So, and the Browns were basically pretty much mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. So, how do the Browns prepare for this game? How do they go into this game? I'm interested to hear, you know, or see how that how that game goes down. And of course, the last game of the season against the Ravens is going to be fun because, you know, the Ravens are going to be fighting for a playoff spot, and it's going to be at home in Baltimore. They're going to be hungry for a victory. And how great would it be to end their chances at a playoff? I mean, how great would it be to go into Baltimore with us really having nothing to gain and beating Baltimore at Baltimore to end their season in a heartbreaking fashion? Everybody goes home crying. Men and women break up in the parking lots. Children bawling their eyes out in Baltimore, those little ugly Baltimore children. Oh gosh, I'm just imagining it. It feels good just thinking about it.
The Pro Bowl.
Hey, I don't know if you saw, we have guys going to the Pro Bowl. Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, going to the Pro Bowl? And we have six alternates. Joel Bitonio, first team alternate. Nick Chubb, second team alternate. Britton Colquitt, second team. Jarvis, third team. Baker, fourth team. Zeitler, fourth team. So, alternates, you hope those guys get to go just because they get a free trip. These millionaires get a free trip to the Pro Bowl. But it's cool seeing Browns as Pro Bowlers, especially Myles. I don't know why. I'm kind of mildly surprised with Denzel. He's had a great season. He's a rookie, so I sometimes think those guys don't get the, you know, it's like, yeah, you got to wait till your second year. You got to wait till you're, you know, a seasoned vet before you get into the Pro Bowl. But good on him, man. That's a great pick. Look, Chubb, we saw Chubb. I was happy that we took Denzel Ward over Bradley Chubb in the draft this year. I definitely felt like, first of all, I was happy to see a Buckeye drafted. Second of all, I thought that we needed more help in the secondary than we did on the defensive pass rush, given the fact that we had Myles Garrett. But look, Bradley Chubb having a great season as well. Hats off to that guy. You know, you'd love to have both of these guys on the team, but happy to see Ward on this team. I love that he's shown so much potential, so much promise on this team. And you know there will be at least a small leap into next season. So that's exciting, right? We know a lot of our young players are only going to get better. And, you know, there's definitely some things we need on this team. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But having some Pro Bowlers, having some guys that are, you know, alternates, Baker being an alternate in his first season, we'll get into his stats too. I'm just so excited about this team in the future. Quick weird note, I want to step in here and I want to say something about the other quarterbacks that we didn't draft, because I've been such a Baker fanboy, I've been so positive on him, and the guy that I really hated on a lot on Twitter, on this podcast, was I wasn't excited about Sam Darnold, and I think that's for a couple of reasons. One, I like to be a contrarian and everybody loved him. Another reason is that he's a USC quarterback, and we should never have a USC quarterback on this football team. Too pretty. The other thing is, you know, I didn't see it in all of his highlight tape. A lot of people did, and I have to give those people credit. So a lot of people did really like Sam Darnold. He seems to be making strides. He's still super young. So if they hang with this guy, they give him the right opportunity, put the right team around him, he'll probably be all right. He'll probably be a good quarterback. I definitely didn't want him. I didn't see it. So I will admit, if he does make strides and if this guy does end up being a great player, I'll say I was wrong, because I wanted nothing to do with that. I really didn't want anything to do with most of the quarterbacks, with the exception of Baker. And I actually liked the kid that Arizona took. I liked Rosen better than everybody else. I thought he had he was the prettiest passer of the bunch, just didn't have the love for the game and didn't want to come to Cleveland. So, you know, didn't really want him either. But got to say, give Darnold credit for making some strides, doing some good things in New York. I think that's a tough city to play into, absolutely a tough city to play in with a tough fan base and a large fan base.
We missed the previews?
Okay, let's preview this game. Browns are 6-7-1. They're in third place in the AFC North. Greg Williams is 4-2, continuing to prove that Hugh Jackson is bad. Bengals are 6-8, having a pretty good slide their second half of the season. It's so nice to see Cincinnati in its rightful place. Looking at it, you know, you already look at these two teams, and it's weird because Cincinnati has a lot of skilled players. They have some very good talent on this team. And really, it's a reflection of how far does the team go with the quarterback and their defense. Their defense has been bad this year. Baker's stats already better than Andy Dalton's. Already. Baker in his first season, better than Andy Dalton. That should say something about your football team, right? If you're the Bengals, are you starting over? Are you cleaning house? What are you doing? Is Hugh Jackson taking over? Let's hope so. Even with Dalton's hot start and Baker's delayed start, Baker has as many touchdowns and interceptions as Dalton. So, better completion percentage. Baker's actually at 70% since Greg Williams took over, which is nuts. But you love seeing that. You're excited about that. You hope his progress continues. Browns total defense, 29. Bengals total offense, 25. Again, they were a lot higher earlier in the season. You think, though, that, of course, this being a division game, this being a rivalry game, Bengals are going to come out fired up. You know they heard all of the talking the Browns did after the last game. They want to avenge you, I'm sure. Browns rush defense 24, Bengals rush offense 23. Mixon looks great this year. He's got to be someone that the Bengals are excited about. Browns pass defense is 30th in the NFL. Bengals pass offense 23. One thing I want to say about the pass defense. Miles is top six in the league in sacks, 12 and a half sacks. Demarius Randall leads the Browns with 4 picks. I was surprised that somebody on the Browns didn't have more than 4 picks, but they've been making turnovers, right? Picks, our corners are causing fumbles. We've had sack fumbles. We've had a really nice turnover ratio this year for the Browns. Overall, I love the way the defense is played. You don't see anything that is just completely annoying on the defense. You know what I mean? Like every year we watch the Browns and we think, oh my gosh, how are they consistently this bad at this one thing? And, you know, I guess I definitely can complain about the run offense. I think they've had a couple instances where they were bad. But overall, I'm excited to watch this defense continue to grow. And how about Peppers last week? What a freak. I'm so excited to see him kind of come up. It's, you know, year two. And he was playing in the wrong position last year. Didn't have any talent around him last year either. They had him playing in that, you know, angel defense, which was just completely the wrong spot for him. But you like seeing him play up close. He had the sack. He had the pick. He's playing fast, playing like a first rounder. And that's why I think, you know, these coaches, especially Greg Williams, is developing these guys the way we needed him to. So hats off to Greg Williams. I mean, I don't know how anybody couldn't be excited about the way our young talent has developed this year. So Bengals pass offense is 23 against the Browns' 30th ranked pass defense. Okay. Browns total offense is 16. So we're climbing up, and Bengals total defense is 32. This is a team you can move the ball on. We hope so, right? This game, you know, last game of the season for the Browns at home, and you gotta be thinking that they're gonna come out just fired up for the fans. And I really hope the fans show up this year for the last game. I mean, how many seasons in a row have we had where, you know, there were more opposing fans in our home stadium? Just kind of sickens you. And how exciting is it that we have a team that we really love now, finally? Browns rush offense, 13. Bengals rush defense, 29. Okay, so we should be able to run the ball. Chubb is 140 yards from breaking 1,000. Also didn't start the season. He's near the top of the league in yards per carry, and I didn't see him as a home run threat when we drafted him. Did you? Maybe some of you did. I mean, you watched the game against Oklahoma, and you saw him hit a couple home runs in that game. But he's running away from people in the NFL. And he's a big man. That's not supposed to happen. I definitely understand those Jamal Lewis comparisons that he got before the season from Dorsey, because that's one of the few big men I've seen run away from people. And that's what Chubb's been doing this year. He's had some insanely great runs. He's a playmaker in round two. So, I mean, you look at it just from this season. I don't know how Dorsey isn't GM of the year. I don't know if they even have that award, to be honest with you, but you look at who they drafted in the first and second rounds, it's like, holy heck, we've had a pretty good influx of talent just from the draft, and that's tough to do. Like, you usually are going to miss, and I mean, you can say Austin Corbett, sure, but overall, like, we've had an insanely big uptick in talent on this team. That's really exciting. Bengals rush defense is 29, not very good. Browns pass offense is 16. Jarvis has 72 receptions for 827 yards. So he's still flirting with 1,000. He could still get there, I think. You got a pretty, at least, bad defense so far against the pass in the Bengals. So, you know, if Jarvis is going to get his yards, it's probably going to be in this game. Next week's against Baltimore, and they're stingy as heck. You know, also looking at our pass offense, Baker is at 92 for his QB rating as a rookie. And he didn't play very well in the beginning of his tenure as a starting quarterback, right? So it's definitely weighing better in these last six games that Williams has taken over. For what it's worth, Darnold is at 72 and Lamar Jackson's at 82. Another guy that I really didn't give any credit to. I didn't want anything to do with Lamar Jackson either. As an athlete, you love the guy, has a great arm. You know, I just didn't see it in the guy, in watching him. I thought, you know, I think unfortunately he got a lot of those RG3 comparisons and maybe he will continue to get those, but the guy can move, and he's such a huge weapon. And if he's used correctly and he's encouraged to stay in the pocket, which is really hard when you're the best athlete on the field, that's really hard to do, right? Hey, stay in the pocket, even though you can run away from everybody on this field or 99% of the players on the defensive side of the ball. So hats off to him. He's playing well. I can't wait for the Browns to play them the last game of the season. Game strategy. What are you doing against the Bengals? I think the first game they played against the Bengals was the perfect strategy given how soundly we beat that team. So more of the same. You know, the one thing that I've been enjoying about this Browns team, and I think what's made them so successful, is the balance on offense. I'm simplifying, of course, but you look at the balance of this offense, the regular running or the threat to run, play action has just been a huge help. I continue to think play action's just, it should be every single play that you're passing the ball. There should always be that threat. Make the linebackers pause. You know, I've always loved that. I don't think it's every play it needs to be, but I like that strategy of just not being so dang obvious with the ball. I felt like with Hugh Jackson, we watched him call plays and it was so bad for so long. We all got sick of it. And, you know, Kitchens is so much more refreshing. And it's kind of sad to think about him going away after this season. He might hang around. We'll see what the new coach does. We'll see if he's being considered for head coach. I don't know. We'll talk more on that here in a minute.
That's not an area code.
Okay, it's time for 3 points from section 346. From my good buddy Kevin, who's got season tickets in section 346 of First Energy Stadium. First point, he says, how do GMs have jobs? I just loved that point. That point was really fun for me. How do GMs have jobs? It's just a good like point to say. It's true. Like, and this was his major use case, but there are others out there, but this was his major one. He's like, look at Jacksonville. Like, and how many teams have former Browns quarterbacks as their backups? But Jacksonville in particular goes into the season with Blake Bortles, who they weren't confident in. We all know that they weren't confident in him. And then Cody Kessler as their backup. Did anybody watch Cody Kessler in the Jacksonville front office? Did any of you see him play for the Browns? Like, how did he end up with a backup quarterback job? How did he end up playing a game this season? This just proves the idea that your quarterback's the most important position on the field. If you don't have a quarterback, you should be doing every possible thing you can do to get a quarterback. Hey, look, Sashi Brown got fired, but Sashi Brown was right strategically. Okay, we can dump on Sashi all we want tactically because he was poor at picking players and so was his entire front office. But strategically, my buddy Kevin, who was just on board with him, the whole tank thing and going and finding, you know, some of the best players and, of course, getting your quarterback in Baker Mayfield turned out to be the right move strategically. So anyway, this made me laugh. I looked at the stats. My buddy sent me some of the stats, but Kessler went 9 of 17 for 57 yards and a pick. 57 yards. He actually ran for 67. He ran for 10 more yards than he threw. That's so depressing. Cody Kessler, one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen on the Browns since their return. Spurgeon Wynn is my favorite. Doug Peterson, another favorite, as far as worst quarterbacks of all time in Cleveland. But look, Cody, keep cashing that check, homie. I'd do the same thing. Point two, Hugh Jackson. Obviously, so this is point two from section 346, Hugh Jackson, the firing of Hugh Jackson, and just how we're two completely different teams, right? Hugh Jackson at the beginning of the season, Greg Williams in the second part of the season, just proves that the choice to move on from Hugh was the right one. And I think there are circumstances that promoted this team to play as they are playing, and this was the major one, right? Obviously, getting rid of Hugh Jackson. But I also think just the shift. So for what it's worth, I was against firing Hugh Jackson in the middle of the season. I thought if you were going to move on from Hugh Jackson, it should have been at the end of last season. I think if you have a brand new GM, you should let him pick his guy. And so I said in the offseason, probably a better idea to move on from Hugh. With that said, they didn't. They decided to go into the season with him. They made him hire an offensive coordinator that he clearly didn't want. And moving on from him turned out to be a good thing. So I am surprised, and I am wrong about that. So my buddy's like, I was right. Take that. And it's true, because you look at this team and you got to be, it was a risk, right? Because when you have a young team, and when you have a major turnover in the middle of the season, that is often the case for the team to give up, to let go, to stop playing, to stop caring. But to their credit, to the team's credit, the young players hanging in there, and to Greg Williams' credit for being the stability and the structure that they needed, which Hugh Jackson clearly wasn't, right? He clearly wasn't the structured head coach that they needed. And then to Freddie Kitchens' credit, which we all, you know, he was an unknown. I mean, we saw the one game that he called in the preseason, but overall, Kitchens, very much an unknown from a play-calling perspective. And he deserves as much credit as Greg Williams does, in my opinion, for this team playing as they are. Because he's made the game fun for the players. He's creative. The team has just been interesting since they've been back. He's made Baker into the player that he is. Give Hugh Jackson, the only credit you can give Hugh Jackson is we saw what wasn't working. So if you are Freddie Kitchens and you're watching what Hugh Jackson is doing and you can see this isn't working, I have a better plan. That provides the basis for the change you're going to make when you take over, right? So if we're going to give Hugh Jackson any credit, he showed us what not to do. And honestly, that is something. That is something. Because if you're going into it, right, you want to do it your way. But it didn't work. Give Freddie the credit. Give my boy Kevin credit for being right that that was the right move to make in the middle of the season. I thought culturally it was going to be a mess. I thought it was going to, you know, I thought this was going to just turn the whole team over again. I'm glad it didn't. And the point at the time when we were talking about it was, you know, we still got Dorsey. He's still in charge. He's still the man kind of running the ship. So good on the Browns. Good on my boy from Section 346 for being right on that point. Third point. This year's been great. And I love this point. It's such a positive point. This year's been awesome. We've been two different teams, of course, but look, Baker Mayfield, best quarterback in his rookie season, right? best rookie quarterback. He's in the middle of the league in passer rating. He's a great leader. Some of the stuff, all that stuff that we talk about, you know, the moxie, all that stuff that we gave Charlie Fry the credit for, Baker has that too, and the talent to back it up. He's got the arm that a lot of people didn't give him the credit for. He's got the accuracy, and he's turning this team into a winner. And that's why we're both excited for this. In the weeks, this is another point my buddy makes, in the weeks that Baker doesn't win Rookie of the Week, Nick Chubb wins it. That just goes to show you can't really make a vote. You can't do it as a voting system. And the reason you can't do it as a voting system is because Cleveland's going to win every time. We have fans that maybe we can argue are the best in the NFL. Maybe we can't. But the one thing we can say is Cleveland fans have the free time to vote for their guys when they're up for Rookie of the Week, all right? Ward has shown to be, my buddy says, a shutdown corner. We'll see. I think the days of the shutdown corner are kind of going away, but that impact corner, for sure, I agree with. We have four wide receivers, a tight end, two running backs with not necessarily the need to improve on those, and Gordon isn't one of them. Okay, look, I think a team can always use more, but to my buddy's point, we have some legitimate guys. Obviously, Jarvis, we all love. Callaway is going to be, you know, I was harsh on him in the middle of the season. I think the guy, especially in that Denver game, did you guys see how he was just creating space from every corner? And granted, their corners are horrible, but I felt like he was taking strides this season, and if, you know, off-field season stuff isn't a problem, Callaway's got a lot of potential to be kind of, you know, that guy that really takes a big step because he's got the speed, he's got the playmaking ability, he's got the natural athletic ability. Higgins took a step this year for sure. None of us can deny that point either. Higgins played a much better game this year, stepped up. You know, he's a late-round pick, so you like seeing that. And Perriman. Look, Perriman's not making huge amounts of stats every week, but he's making those plays, and he's making catches that he wasn't making in Baltimore, which makes you feel even better, right? He wasn't making them in Baltimore. He's making them here. He's meshing with this team. And he's a speed guy, too. So we have two speed guys, which you love to have on your offense. I think we could see another playmaker added, but look, man, we have some real legitimate players on offense, and together, especially with Baker growing into his second year, we're going to see more. The team lost four in a row at one point. Hugh Jackson's gone. The team has a chance to win 8.5 games. If we end up over 500, every fan should be proud of this team, and we are. We're pumped, right? And I wrote this point. I said it earlier, but I want to say it again. Rest in peace, Sashi Brown. He was right strategically. He was wrong tactically, right? That's the way we have to look at it. He didn't do his full job right, and that's why he's gone. But overall, look, he was right about tanking because we have one of the best players in the NFL already in Myles Garrett, and the potential for Baker Mayfield and having a quarterback is absolutely worth an 0-16 season, in my opinion. Right? Isn't he? How many teams are going to be looking for a quarterback in this coming offseason? We're not one of them. How good does that feel? Since that 0-16 season is behind us, I'm saying it's worth it. Last item, this is a fourth point from Section 346. So really, he's kind of breaking the rules here, but I'm gonna let it slide. New coach. We're going to bring in a new coach. Got to do it. Got to bring in a new coach. Got to let Dorsey bring in his guy. But if, and so here's my but, this is not my buddy's point, but this is my point. But if you support keeping Greg Williams and Kitchens, then the one way you do that is you keep the structure the way it is. Coach and GM both report directly to the owner. That's the thing I've been critical of since the beginning, right? I think the GM should be hired. They should run the show. They should be able to hire their coach. Their coach coaches with the players that the GM goes and picks. That's the way I think it should be done. I think that's the way they're kind of running it right now, even though they don't really want to say it. Dorsey's going to be the guy that's going to bring in his own guy. So that's that. Uniforms. Look, we played with orange pants. People love them. I don't care for them. I want to see the brown pants. And that's that. Who cares about the uniforms? They're going to change, and I can't wait till they do. Prediction. Browns, 28. Bengals, 17. Send them home sad. Go Browns. Be excited, Cleveland. I love it. Talk to you next week.